Hello and welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 65 for February 17th, 2010.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
I am George Abor.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a website we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And this week, inspired by a new trailer that we saw from Shinji Mikami, Vanquish, we decided to take a look back on some of the recent video game trailers that have come out. And just kind of evaluate them based on what they might say about the game, how the games ended up panning out, and what they got us thinking about when we first saw them. We'll link to the Vanquish trailer on the website.
Yeah, so you can see it in all its glory.
Yeah. And I guess what started this whole topic kind of rolling around in my mind is that it's an unconventional trailer in that, one, there's no gameplay footage.
But is that really unconventional?
Well, that we'll see. We'll see. Two, I don't think there's any actual game footage regardless. I don't think there's any cutscene or full motion video. Well, actually, I guess this is what you might call it, full motion video. Like, this is all live action actors.
Okay, but maybe it's a live action game. Maybe they come to your house and try to kill you and you have to try to survive.
I mean, from the creator of Resident Evil and Resident Evil 4, I would expect nothing less. And also the guy who did the story for Killer 7. Like, this guy's crazy.
Oh, yeah. He will vanquish you.
So it's, in many ways, it felt like kind of a throwback to some of the older, like, even, like, crazy Sega CD, like, full motion video where it's live action type thing. And I got to thinking, like, is this an effective trailer? Like, does this make me interested in the game? Does it make you interested in the game?
No. But no. But I mean,
why? Is it because of the pedigree or just because of how the trailer was shot?
It's how the trailer was shot. Okay. There are plenty of movie trailers out there. Mm-hmm. For every type of movie you want to see. Mm-hmm. There is not a huge selection of video game trailers. A lot of the indie titles don't have trailers.
Yeah.
A lot of the quieter releases, you know, you're not going to necessarily see a video game trailer for, you know, Lucidity. It's not maybe you'll find one online,
yeah,
but it's not going to make its way into the general,
conscious. You're not going to see it on TV, and it's not going to be like the big E3 reveal, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And it feels like a lot of times, judging from past advertisements for video games, they rely on just blowing your mind. They want to catch your attention. They want to blow some shit up so that you remember, oh, right, this is the game that blows shit up.
And the Vanquish trailer is about blowing shit up.
Absolutely. I
mean, they destroy the Transamerica building in San Francisco.
Yeah, which is hilarious. It's a guy who's dressed in a Space Marine outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's fighting robots.
Yeah.
Okay. What game is that? Every game blows stuff up.
It's every game.
I don't want to criticize the game already. It's just the trailer, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't understand how game trailers get away with advertising being just like everything else.
Advertising being just like everything else in that they're similar to films and TV shows?
They're almost like they're similar to each other.
Oh, okay.
There are
very few
commercials for video games that stand out in my mind.
Yeah,
there's very few games that are memorable to me for their commercials.
Okay.
And I think one of the reasons is that the strategy for video game commercials is often to show things blowing up or show things collapsing. There's very, very rarely story elements.
Yeah.
It's very rare for something to show you, like, for example, a lot of movies have voiced-over narrations that explain what happens. You know, like, oh, one guy decides to go to the store or whatever.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in games. They don't say, they don't tell you the overall path.
Got it.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to the nitty-gritty. And we can start with positive, negative, or just ambivalent examples. What are some trailers from recent memory that have stood out to you for one reason or another?
Well, I think that the Modern Warfare 2 trailer, and I watched this again recently.
There's a couple different ones, too.
Yeah. Those ones stood out, if for no other reason than they were, well, let's see. First, there was the teaser trailer for Modern Warfare, which just showed kind of static, green, Modern Warfare 2-ish kind of, I don't know, what is the green thing?
I would think that it was
like radar or night vision goggles. Yeah. And you see little snippets. I think you get a piece of the what ended up to be the No Russian scene, and that kind of stood out because it was just that, it was that teaser, right? Mm. It reminded you that Infinity Ward is willing to go to some dark places, and the sequel commercial that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Included an Eminem rap song to the background.
Yeah.
And it was, again, dudes blowing stuff up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get the sense that they're targeting a specific audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, right? There are a lot of people who are into hip-hop music and maybe the more... I mean, I don't want to...
You don't want to sound like an elitist prick.
I don't want to sound elitist prick, but there are a lot of, you know, the immature type who play a lot of first-person shooters online. Yeah, we all know who they are.
Yeah.
It felt like they were advertising... to them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to make this distinction with the knowledge that we now have, especially with all the fallout of the rest of the immature Modern Warfare 2 advertising campaign, like the grenade spamming YouTube thing, and you know, all of the weird achievements that are like marijuana references and stuff. I mean, it just, now that we have all that knowledge, I feel that it might color our perception of what the trailer actually
was. True. What I want to get out of that... lesson is that there are different types of people who will play the same game, and it's indicative of how difficult it is to design an ad campaign for such a broad audience. You know, I'm a very different type of gamer who's playing Mass Effect 2 right now, for example, from someone else who might be playing Mass Effect 2 who's being a renegade, who is being a kind of a brutish strong man, the bad guy persona.
Well, it's hard to make a trailer. I mean, what I remember from the Mass Effect ones, if we want to jump to Mass Effect, is that it doesn't really give you a sense of the personal journey that you seem to be having with it. For me, it kind of just looks like a movie because I never played it. And so you have this Magnificent Seven style cast of characters, but you don't have any of the history. And also your Shepard is customized. So that trailer really doesn't seem like it's very indicative of what the game is going to be like for most people.
Exactly. And I think the Mass Effect trailer is a perfect explanation for why it's so hard to make a game trailer. The Shepard that they've chosen to be the normal Shepard doesn't look like most people's Shepards because most everyone designs their own. How do you do that? You know, how do you design a trailer for games that appeal to different people to different reasons? You've got 1 minute to prove to everyone that your game is good. Are you going to show... are you going to show you the strategy elements? You know, like Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend, yeah.
Is Brutal Legend going to show the RTS elements of the game? Maybe that would turn people off. Maybe that's why they didn't show that in the trailers.
Well, I mean, there's a question. I think that raises a bigger question of, do you show gameplay or do you show something that would be more traditionally considered story? I mean, as far as Brutal Legend goes, it seemed like a lot of story to me, and it seemed like the main draw of that game was story. Based on everything that I've read and based on the short amount of time that I've played it, I would want to play that game through just to see the animation and the dialogue play out. And so if that's what you're going to advertise in the trailer, you might want to put that up front, because this is the marquee marquee feature of your game.
I guess, but I don't think that's why they did it. I think they did it because they didn't want to show people gameplay.
Okay.
I think people are cautious about showing gameplay in trailers because it will turn some people off, or they'll start judging the game before it's done. You're trapped.
Maybe. How about like before we started, we watched the Mirror's Edge one, and the Mirror's Edge trailer, it was a pretty early one, and they had this neat kind of disclaimer / jab at other trailers at the beginning that said, this is all gameplay footage.
Yeah, what a show-off move.
Yeah.
Right? That's ridiculous.
And they do... Most of the footage is from that first level where you're doing this. You do like a sampling of everything. You climb a gate, you jump some buildings, you do a zip line.
You hit a dude with a shotgun butt.
Yeah, I mean, and they show all that kind of stuff in that initial sequence, and it is all gameplay. But my question to you, especially someone, both of us have played it, I would say that, and I would say you were far more critical of Mirror's Edge than I was.
That's right.
Does it really show what the game is like? Sure, it shows in-game footage, but is the footage representative of the experience?
No.
Yeah.
Because they don't show Faith dying, right? I mean, if they really wanted to be accurate, the first 3 minutes would have just her been falling over and over again, and then the thwud of her hitting the ground.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that being said, I actually really liked that trailer.
But do you... I don't know.
I mean it's not representative of the game, but can you really have a commercial that is representative of the game? You're not playing it. I mean, that's what game demos are for.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, you just have to encapsulate the idea of your game. Mm-hmm. That's another reason why the Mirror's Edge trailer was so cool, mm-hmm. is that they showed the visuals that were consistent throughout the game. Mm-hmm. They showed the colors changing of the items that you're going to jump on and be using to vault yourself. Mm-hmm. You heard her breathing heavily.
Yeah.
You saw her hands. Mm-hmm. You heard the thud of her foot. Mm-hmm. All of the aesthetic elements of the game, all of the things that wrapped up the theme of the game were there. You even heard police sirens in the background.
So do you think that it... Well, I mean, okay, so... And then you're thrown into an ice-cold bath with the gameplay where you realize that it's going to be a lot more punishing than was shown in this kind of freewheeling trailer.
That's true, but I guess I don't know what obligation trailers have for us. I don't think it's even possible, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't think it's possible to give you a good assessment of what the game is going to be like.
So maybe
only demos can.
Maybe that's an argument for completely unrelated trailers then, like Vanquish.
I guess.
I mean, like, if they had only shown Faith from a third-person perspective, doing, you know, having conversations with her various mercenary friends or whatever, would that have made the game more tolerable for you because you wouldn't come in with this expectation that was set up?
I don't know. I think that...
It's a weird question, I know, because the question is that would you rather have it lie to you so you could protect yourself from expectations or to try to be truthful to set you up for what to expect?
I think it should be try to be truthful to a limit. Uh-huh. Like, I think they're limited in showing you atmospherically what they're aiming for.
Okay.
The Dead Space trailer, for example, I think does a good job of that. You hear the sounds, it tries to freak you out. Mm-hmm. You can't play it. It does show you gameplay.
Yeah.
And fortunately, Dead Space does not have a HUD.
Yeah.
And neither does Mirror's Edge. Mm-hmm. So both games benefit by not showing you a HUD because there is none.
They're really photogenic because there's nothing to clutter up besides that purely visual experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of game trailers don't have the HUD. Mass Effect 2 trailer, as far as I know,
or GTA or anything
like
that.
They don't include that aspect of it because it gets in the way.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to capture essentially is just the atmosphere of the situation. Mm-hmm. Not having a HUD being shown, I think, is kind of disingenuous because that does affect the atmosphere.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
Yeah.
But at least they try.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the Vanquish trailer really gives you a sense of what it's going to be like to be in that world.
Hmm.
I think they want you to think it is.
Yeah,
they want you to think it's going to be as exciting as the little pieces of dirt flying off the ground as robots
hitting
fire
it,
missiles.
Your helmet,
and, and getting your eyes all fuzzy and stuff. They're trying, but that's...
So do you think it's easier for games that have minimal story in the conventional sense to be represented well by a preview? Like, we watched the new Super Mario Bros. Wii trailer, which was just...
It's just them playing
it. Yeah, right? It is just a group of people playing New Super Mario Bros. Wii, complete with mess-ups and items and just a lot of chaos happening. And it was completely indicative of what the game is.
Yeah.
But it's not that exciting. It's only exciting for people that want that thing.
Well, yeah, but everyone wants that thing. The game sells itself.
That's true, but I mean, there are people out there that aren't huge fans of Mario. I don't think that trailer does anything to get them excited about it. I think it's more kind of like a preaching to the choir in a very honest way. Like, you know what you want? You want a two-dimensional Mario. And look, we're going to show you a minute straight of two-dimensional Mario footage.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no CG in it. There's no nothing. There's more story in the game than they show in the trailer. I find it refreshing, but it's because I really liked that game and I knew exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
So... Maybe it's just a completely different thing if your game doesn't have any kind of story.
Yeah, that's true.
Or any kind of, game designer designed narrative.
But on Nintendo's opposite side, we have the trailer for Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Yeah.
And the first Super Smash Bros.,
yeah.
which was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people dressed up as the characters beating each other up, like having a picnic.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic commercial.
Plus, it used a really funny song, too. The Turtles, So Happy Together.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. And... The purpose of that isn't even to be atmospheric. It's just to kind of tease at the game.
Yeah.
And those I'm okay with, too.
Yeah.
You know, even, I don't know what you thought of the Halo commercials for the Halo 3 and Halo ODST, where they show actual live-action human beings being really sad about a battle. You know,
yeah.
It almost looked like
I'm
you were peeking
in. I'm glad that you segued
in
into it, because it was something that we probably weren't going to have a huge amount of time for in our next Halo cast, but Halo 3, the marketing campaign, was really, I mean... I feel ambivalent about it, because there was, I think it was an E3 trailer, and it was the one where Cortana flashes on the screen and says, like, this is the way the world ends or something like
that.
Love
that commercial.
And it was,
love it.
And I could not help but, like, have the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when I saw that trailer, which is weird because I'm not even, like, hugely into the story of Halo. It's like, I'm not... I don't lay awake at night thinking about what Master Chief is going to do. Is he going to finish the fight? You know? But then after I saw that thing, I was completely juiced for Halo 3.
Okay, but don't you think that it hints at the potential? I mean, you know from the first two Halos that Bungie can do great things. And they're on a next-gen console.
Yeah.
They're not just advertising for themselves. They're advertising for the 360.
Well, it brought me to this line of thinking that what trailers can do is, oddly enough, flesh out the story of a game and not integrate it to the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Halo 3 trailers gave Halos 1 and 2 a whole new meaning for me personally that I didn't even get from the game. Like they retroactively kind of crafted this legend around the first two games that I had just played. You know, looking back on those games, I now see the world differently because I watched those trailers.
Because you're imagining real-life individuals living and waiting for the Master Chief to show up as his legendary self.
Exactly. I mean, you have those... they have these old veterans of the war, and they're walking. One of them is the Master Chief memorial that they did. One of them... The one that I find most chilling is the one in the museum where they're showing, you know...
And like the miniature.
Yeah, the miniature... the diorama in the war museum, and the guy who that they're interviewing in this mock documentary is actually in this diorama as a young man. And he says, I was on an overturned warthog firing a turret. It shows the little guy firing a turret in an overturned warthog. You know that this is the character that they're talking about. Yeah. And he says, you know, why did you keep fighting? You know, it looked hopeless. And he's like, well, we saw Master Chief. He gave us hope. And it's like, there's this weird thing where it looks like he's kind of like blinking back tears when he's saying it. And it made me feel really weird because
it's making you feel like you are a part of that story, right?
Yeah.
Because to some extent, that didn't happen in the game.
No.
But when you see this guy and you say, well, I'm Master Chief.
Yeah.
I'm the one who gave him that inspiration.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's depositing in you a memory of something that the game never gave you.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if that should be the way things are done. Why couldn't they have put that in the game? You know? Like, I don't know. Yeah, it seems like they're retroactively doing it.
But do you feel lied to? Like, do you think that when you play Halo 3, you're going to feel... as if you're not that connected to actual troops?
No, I don't. I think it's, like I said, I think it's an interesting way of doing trailers because you're building a world outside of the game that players will then take into the game. I also think it's kind of weird because I had mixed feelings about showing veterans like that. I mean, those veterans were more and probably are more visible than any veterans of the Iraq or Afghanistan conflicts.
Yeah.
Like I can put faces to the veterans of the Halo Wars more easily than I could to Desert Storm.
Yeah, and you don't see Modern Warfare trying to take a risk.
Exactly.
Like that.
So I was like, oh gosh, what does this say about our culture that, you know, this is the thing that I can, I don't know. Like I said, I was conflicted about
feelings.
It. I was conflicted about it. But sure, it got me way more interested in Halo. Even it got me more interested in 1 and 2. And it definitely got me more interested in Part 3. I feel like I finally, from not just a gameplay perspective, but from a plot perspective, I am enthusiastic about going into that third game. Yeah. I was already enthusiastic about the gameplay. The games had sold themselves to me. But the story was just like give or take. What with these trailers, I don't know. It was a really good ad campaign, I thought.
Yeah, and they also had... I guess they were part of the trailers when they did flashbacks mm-hmm. to actual people fighting on the ground. And they were fighting large grunts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vanquish trailer reminded me a lot of that. It used very, very similar style.
Mm-hmm.
It had a really high frame rate so that it looked like everything was hyper real and mm-hmm. that you're very much in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe those ones were directed by Neil Blomkamp, the guy who went on to do District 9, who was originally slotted to direct the Halo movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those commercials are proof that an artistic commercial can be a fantastic work of art.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really cool to watch in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes the same for any medium that has advertisements.
Yeah.
You know, movies, some film commercials are far better than the movies will ever
That's
be.
That's true. I'm just afraid that will happen to games, too. Sometimes that does happen
to games. I'm not afraid that's going to happen to games, because what we have now are just shitty commercials, mostly. I mean, they don't tell us anything about the game, anyway. They don't immerse us in the game, even thematically. It doesn't really immerses them to the game.
Yeah, the thing, maybe like Halo is the big outlier for that. How about the GTA? GTA has always had pretty well-known and well-received commercials, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that neither of us is the biggest GTA fan out there. I mean, I've never completed a GTA game, but I love watching the trailers when they come out.
Yeah.
I mean, do you like them or do you...
I do. I mean, we watched them before the podcast, and I actually think that those do fit that idea of the thematic commercial.
Yeah.
The Vice City and the Ballad of Gay Tony and the motorcycle, the Lost in the Damned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of those accompany music,
yeah.
a score.
And also licensed music that you already have these cultural associations
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Yeah. I think Vice City is the best example. Mm-hmm. Is they use like a 70s ballad that plays
or
in the
80s. They use an 80s ballad. Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it puts you in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
The same can be said for the Ballad of Gay Tony, where you're having all this conflict and the music matches really well with that.
Yeah.
But also the dancing and the high life.
Yeah, exactly.
That the story gives you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's explosions and helicopters and motorcycles.
And they sync it up really well, and they pick songs that kind of go well with this opulence that they're showing you.
Yeah, I mean, I think aesthetically those are fantastic commercials. Mm-hmm.
But do they let you down when you actually play the game? Because that's not how the game looks.
But it's hard because to some extent, especially with the Grand Theft Auto 4 projects.
Yeah.
They know that everyone knows what Grand Theft Auto is.
Yeah.
You don't have to show footage. You know exactly what it is. It hasn't changed much over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to say is GTA 4 and then give us a feel of what the story might be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they do.
Hmm.
Something that would be the opposite, perhaps, are the Gears of War trailers.
Yeah.
Where they show, it's not in-game footage. It's all pre-rendered.
Yeah.
But they show the chaos of it, and you'd think that, at least visually, it's completely fits within the theme.
Yeah.
But then the music, the first game has Mad World. By
you don't think Mad World
Gary
fits?
Jules.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it's a really solid, and the second song
Dvashka.
Was... Yeah, Dvashka.
I think it's, the hipster kids are going to skewer me for not getting this, the title of this song, but I think it's this is how it ends. I think that's how it's, what it's called.
Regardless.
It was the same thing they used in Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Both of the commercials for Gears are not, like, action-packed. The music doesn't chill your bones. It doesn't make you think, like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know? That's not what they do.
Yeah.
They make it seem like a much more sad and somber affair, especially the second Gears.
Well, I believe the second one started out with the Coltrane staring down the barrel of a sniper rifle, but he pauses to consider a butterfly that had landed on his gun.
That's ridiculous. The Coltrane would never... I mean, unless he's going to shoot the butterfly, that's not what would happen in the game. So, at the same time, those commercials are hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
And I actually kind of like them.
I think they were well-received, too. You know, I mean, I think they were pretty... I don't know. They were famous enough for Bad Company to parody them in when Bad Company put out their advertisements, so... But yeah, I mean, and it's also, I feel like the Gears of War trailers were trying to do something like the Halo trailers, trying to build this story outside of the gameplay. Because the second one is supposed to be sad, right?
Yeah, but they fail miserably at that.
I know, but they were trying to compensate with creating an atmosphere outside of the game that you'd bring into the game.
Yeah.
Like Halo 3. But, I don't know if they succeeded. Probably not.
To me, the commercials felt, and to some extent, and this is why it's so hard to judge, because a lot of the commercials have similarities with the Halo commercials, for example. Those are very somber commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So are the Gears of War. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the Gears of War trailers try to exploit that feeling from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mad World song is an excellent song, and you see this world ravaged, and you can't help but imagine what those emotions would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just fighting for your life, but fighting for those last morsels of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Halo does the same thing. It's still exploiting you. It's still exploiting this sympathy for veterans and the horrors of war.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they are trying to expand a feeling that you might already have for the Master Chief.
Or at least maybe a nascent feeling.
Yeah, something that might be there. I could believe that they think that they did it already in the first games.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe they think they did that in Gears of War. I don't think for a second Cliff Bleszinski figured, I think at this point people really are feeling for Marcus Fenix.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to tone down the music,
give
some people something to think about. I don't think that happened.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess you could say that the second trailer, the trailer for Gears of War 2 is even more maudlin than the first one, because there's these images of Dom looking at pictures of his wife, and there's just a lot more longing glances between Marcus and Dom.
Some touching moments.
It seems like they went more extreme in that direction, even though the game might not have followed that as much. I don't know. It's a question that I still don't really know the answer to. I'm not the hugest fan of video game trailers anyway, because I kind of want to be surprised by what's going on.
Yeah.
Even in a gameplay sense. Like, sometimes I'm glad that they don't show a lot of gameplay, because personally, I feel like that's where most of the story in a game comes from.
Sure, you know, you don't want that spoiled for you.
Exactly. Like, I want to discover the gameplay, because for me, that is what sets games apart from something I'm just watching.
Have you ever put yourself on media blackout for a game?
I must have. What?
BioShock. BioShock 2, right?
No, I didn't really
care.
Yeah. I didn't really follow it. Gosh, there must have been something.
I feel like you have been recently.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. How about you? I mean,
Mass Effect 2 most recently has been my media blackout. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, because I caught a couple pieces of the commercial that spoiled some elements of the game for me.
Yeah.
Not that it ruined the game. But yeah, I think that it's funny because I know now that trailers, I can't really trust them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really trust them not to spoil things for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to build up my expectations and let me fail.
Mm-hmm.
For a game that I'm so excited about, like Mass Effect 2,
mm-hmm.
I was much more eager to just let it ride, put my faith that BioWare would do something good, and not have them tease me.
Yeah.
Especially not have them tease me with some big, gruff, short-haired
Shepherd. Yeah. You know, while you were saying that, I thought of one. But again, this goes back to the gameplay thing. God of War 3, I've watched one trailer for God of War 3, and that was the completely pre-rendered one that they released. I don't know, it was like E3 last year, maybe even the year before. But related to that, I have not played the demo for God of War 3, because I feel like that would be more of a spoiler. Like, that takes the place of a trailer for me. Yeah. I think demos have kind of slid into this place where trailers, you know, movies have trailers, games have demos, and it's giving you a taste of what might be coming.
Right.
I don't want to know anything about God of War 3 because I want to be completely fresh going into it. And so that's one thing where I'm not even really reading any like previews or reviews about it. I'm not like playing it at all. It's just something that I want to go fresh into.
Yeah. Well, then maybe you would find a trailer that fleshes out the story appealing.
Yeah.
I mean, like a live action Kratos and one of his kids on Mount Olympus or something.
They can't find anyone that buff. Even Marcus Fenix pales in comparison.
Oh, man. So real quick, are there any favorite trailers? Things that just immediately pop into your head?
Yeah. I think The Ballad of Gay Tony, I really like that trailer a lot. It tempts me to play that game.
Yeah.
Even though I don't really have that much interest in GTA, when I see that, it's just a really neat, crafted, you know, put together thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, uses the music well and everything. But yeah, I mean, the trailer that got me the most amped up for a game recently was New Super Mario Brothers Wii when they released the trailer at E3 last year, because it showed me exactly what I wanted to see and I couldn't be more excited about
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. How about you?
My favorite, I think, has been the Left 4 Dead trailers,
mm-hmm.
which actually are just the introductory cinematic to the game itself.
Okay.
But super exciting.
I guess it didn't really spoil anything in that case, since you're going to see it.
Right. They just show you, and if anything, especially the Left 4 Dead 2 trailer, it served as an introduction to the game. So there was nothing, even in the storyline, that you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know what happens before you play the game.
Got it.
So those trailers have been, you know, were really cool.
And they don't show you anything in-game at all, right? Like, they don't show you four players moving.
Nope,
like
all cinematics.
That's kind of neat because, I mean, I'm not a big fan of cinematics anyway. Like, I think that's kind of, like, not the point, but when you're trying to maybe have a big reveal for something like Left 4 Dead, where you've never seen something like this before, you've never seen a four-player cooperative first-person shooter to this magnitude, it's nicer to have that as a surprise.
Yeah.
You didn't see that in the trailer, so you're blown away when you boot up the game.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so if you folks want to write in, share your thoughts on trailers, maybe your favorites or least favorites, feel free to do so. Write in at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
You can also leave your thoughts in the comment section to this podcast, as well as any of our posts. We update experiencepoints.blogspot.com 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings.
Until next time, coming soon, podcast number 66.
Podcast number 66.
All right, take it easy, folks.
Bye.